Napa know-how.
There are lots of amazing cars on the road, but perhaps none more amazing than the paid-off car. It may not be pretty, but the price is right. Heck, if you keep that thing running, it'll actually start paying you. Because with Napa Rewards, for every $100 you spend, you'll get $5 off. So keep your car running longer, stronger with Napa Rewards and watch the savings start rolling in. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
The long-awaited season predictions edition of Locked On Grizzlies. Also, injury news and the first regular season 3Q preview for the Minnesota Timberwolves. You are Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the pod. I am Peter Edmiston with you on this Wednesday, and it is a beautiful Wednesday indeed because it is opening night for the Grizzlies. Tonight, FedEx Forum, the Minnesota Timberwolves, we finally have regular season basketball. It has felt like forever, but coming off of last night where we saw Cleveland hammer the Knicks to open the season up with LeBron and a triple-double. And as I record this, Warriors and Spurs are going at it, second half of that one. So, boy, there's a lot to get to on this pod. We'll get to season previews coming up, win totals. Yes, I'm going to have my win total for you to add to the pile of others, and you can use it to beat me over the head all season long if you wish. And the 3Q preview for the Minnesota Timberwolves. We start, though, with injury news.
Injury news.
Injury news.
Top-notch production, as always, here on Locked On Grizzlies. Injury news, and the Grizzlies released one of their patented injury updates. I told you it was on the way, and indeed it has come. And it's come with some interesting information. Nothing, well, mostly nothing that we didn't already know, but there is one detail that is troubling, let's just say. Now let's go through this thing from top to bottom as it was listed by the Grizzlies. Troy Daniels is the first on the list. Suffered, according to the Grizzlies, a left knee sprain during the preseason, but is progressing well. He is listed as probable for tonight's game against the Timberwolves. Maybe that explains some of the poor shooting. Tony Allen is on the list, experiencing soreness in his right knee during the preseason, but according to the Grizzlies, is progressing well. He has returned to practice. He is listed as questionable for tonight's matchup. You heard from Tony yesterday on the pod. He said he didn't necessarily feel great, but I'm still betting that he will play tonight. Jarrell Martin, inflammation of the plantar fascia in his right foot. He is progressing after returning to limited practice participation. He is listed as questionable for tonight. That plantar fascia situation, given his foot problems that he's continued to have, is not surprising and will probably kind of be an ongoing thing for him. He's going to have to deal with some inflammations as he continues to recover. You hope that doesn't limit him too much, but he's had a real severe history of foot problems in his career already. So fingers crossed, Jarrell can get back to action sooner rather than later. Maybe even tonight. I have some skepticism about that, but maybe he could. Chandler Parsons won't play tonight. He is listed as a limited participant in practices recently, rehabbing from right knee surgery, that according to the Grizzlies. Increasing his load gradually, they say. He is listed as day-to-day moving forward, but again, he will not play against the Timberwolves. Now, the one that is most informative is Brandon Wright. Brandon Wright played first two preseason games, but then was out, was spotted in a boot. No information had been forthcoming for a while, but now with this injury update, we have a little more information, and I'll read straight from the update. Brandon Wright has been experiencing posterior tibialis tendinopathy and has not been an active participant in practices recently. He will be out for the opener against Minnesota. He will be reevaluated in 10 days, and there is currently no timetable for his return. So posterior tibialis tendinopathy, what is that? So essentially what this particular tendon is the a tendon, by the way, you just it so you know, attaches muscles to bones. That's generally what you see from tendons. This particular tendon, the posterior tibial tendon, attaches the calf muscle to the bones on the inside of the foot. So this is the tendon actually that kind of holds up your arch. It gives you that arch. And if this tendon ends up being problematic, then it's one of the leading causes of like fallen arches. You've heard of people that have fallen arches or flat feet that develop later in life. That's why this tendon is becomes unable to function. And you lose that elasticity and it becomes very painful. So as a problem, it's kind of pesky. It's not something that is like, you know, career threatening or anything necessarily like that. It's just something that's just kind of hard to deal with. It's something that you can only really, you rest it for a while, you do your normal stimulation, that kind of therapy. But, you know, as far as recovery goes, it's painful and it can be something that lasts for a while. And in fact, if you're not careful, it can be something that stretches out into, you know, many, many months. So I say all that to say that you just have to keep an eye on Brandon Wright in his recovery from this thing, because it is possible based on this particular injury and the way that you have to recover and rehab from it that we may not see Brandon Wright for a while. I mean, I think their terminology on this is kind of telling, that he's not even going to be reevaluated for a week and a half. And then once he is, there's no timetable now, and I'm guessing after that reevaluation, there's probably still not going to be a timetable. So I'm guessing you won't see Brandon Wright for a few weeks at least. That's the thought. Hopefully he can recover quicker than that. But based on this injury and that particular tendon and how stubborn it can be and how tricky it can be to recover from, especially with jumping and those things that you have to do, pain is a big element of this. It's problematic. So you don't like to see that from Brandon Wright, but it's not a surprise given his poor injury history and seemingly just bad luck. Season win total. What is mine? What is yours? You say it first right now. I'm going to give you a little pause and you just say it out loud. Wherever you're listening, just say a number. Interesting. Yeah. I thought about that number too. I wonder if you have the same number I have. Here's my number. 41. 41 wins, 41 losses for the Grizzlies this year. That means that they will miss the playoffs. And I thought long and hard about this, and I know that it's probably not going to be the most popular opinion out there. And, yeah, I thought maybe I could massage it a different way or look at it, but we've talked about it a few times, and I've told folks on my radio show, I've told folks on other podcasts. I just think that injuries and wins are so strongly correlated with this team that it is impossible to separate the two. And if that's the case, then you look up and down the roster, and it's very difficult to envision a season where you aren't interrupted in a big-time way by at least one injury, if not more. Could also be that you are disrupted by multiple small injuries throughout the season that keep you from really getting the kind of chemistry that you're looking for. Those things are all part of the equation when I think about the 41 win total. And the thing that I kind of come back to is, well, if you look at the rotations right now, you're starting tonight's starting lineup. If Tony Allen is healthy, it will be Mike Conley, Tony Allen, James Ennis, Jamichael Green, Marc Gasol. Then beyond that, for tonight, you will probably have Troy Daniels. You'll have Troy Williams. You'll have Wade Baldwin. You'll have Andrew Harrison. You'll have Vince Carter. Then from the bigs, you will have perhaps Jarrell Martin and Deontay Davis. And, of course, Zach Randolph. you know, that's what you've got right now. Later on, presumably, Chandler Parsons will reemerge, hopefully sooner rather than later. Same thing with Brandon Wright. Hopefully he will be part of it. But in the meantime, that's what you're dealing with right now. And it's not a particularly deep group, and there are concerns about a lot of the players. And in fact, if you look at four of the top six players that the Grizzlies have got, I mean, if you just look at the starter and then you look at the sixth man, so that's Mike, Tony, Chandler Parsons, Jamichael Green, Marc Gasol, Zach Randolph, that would be your top six. You have probably some kind of a managed minutes situation for four of those six players. That does not include Mike Conley, nor does it include Jamichael Green, but everybody else has got a managed minutes situation. You heard earlier in the week David Fizdale confirming that Marc Gasol is going to be on a minutes restriction for not just early in the season, but probably the entire season in some form or fashion, just because they have to be very careful about his recovery. It's a long-term thing, and that means very long-term. So you've got that minutes restriction. Zach Randolph and Tony Allen are guys that, as they get older, are just going to have to take time off. That's the way it was last year. You can already see in preseason Tony Allen with not really a specific injury per se, but it's just his knee is bulky. It's, as he gets older, it's going to continue to stay that way. You know, Zach Randolph is going to pick up little nagging injuries. He's also going to take some days off because that's what you have to do at his age, and Zach has never been shy about doing that. So that's three. Then you throw in Chandler Parsons, who has never really played a full season of basketball, has been around the 65-game mark on average the last couple seasons with Dallas, and is coming off of a major, major knee operation. That's going to be another minutes concern going forward. You put all those things together, you also have to throw in that you are, you know, introducing a brand new coach and a lot of new system elements on offense and defense. And I think in preseason, they did a great job of taking a lot of it on, learning a lot of things and jumping into it. But as the regular season wears on and you are seeing teams that are more talented, that are playing you with much more ferocity, those schemes are going to be tested. The depth is going to be tested. What happens when you have to see key minutes from Wade Baldwin? What happens when you have to see key minutes from Andrew Harrison? What happens when you have to see these guys step up? Does Troy Williams have enough to be a contributor in some decent-sized form? What about Jarrell Martin? Will that foot hold up for him? Will Brandon Wright be able to come back and play? Deontay Davis. I like a lot of things about Deontay Davis as a draft pick, but will he be able to see significant minutes in his rookie year and contribute in a positive way? You know, that's kind of a glass half empty look at it, because I think the team MVP is going to be Mike Conley. I think he's going to have a big year. I think he's going to have a really big year. Everything is lining up. I wrote about it last week. I think he just fits this offense perfectly. I think, you know, he's going to do so many things that he really hasn't been able to do. Just free and loose play, you know, being able to be much more aggressive offensively, getting to the basket. There should be more space for him to drive into. I think his shooting will be better. I think he'll be more assertive. All those things are definite positives. If you want to look at the bright side, Marc Gasol being able to go outside, that is a really nice bonus for the Grizzlies to have. It opens up some new threats offensively for him. Jamichael Green had a good preseason and looked like he's, you know, going to make a little bit of a jump fairly late in the developmental stage of his career. If he does that, then there's something there, because I know that behind him, you're going to see guys that may not be able to play much. You know, Brandon Wright definitely remains to be seen. Jarrell Martin, same thing. Deontay Davis, you just don't know. Jamichael Green has to play a role, and a big role, for this team. So far, I like what I've seen, but that's a largely untested proposition at a very high level. But positive stuff from him. Yeah, you think, and you really feel like you know what you can expect from Tony and Zach, even though they are going to have their minutes managed. to some degree, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get, you know, extremely consistent defense from Tony Allen, you know, energetic chemistry, toughness, all that stuff. And from Zach coming off the bench, as long as he is okay with it and as long as he keeps his head in the right place, he's going to score against a lot of reserve units. He's going to have the greenest of green lights to go out there and do his thing. And he has a real possibility to win Sixth Man of the Year because of all those factors. He's going to have all kinds of opportunity to go out there and put up big-time points and be an impact guy for this team. So all those things are on the positive side of the ledger. But overall, I just can't project this team staying healthy enough to establish the kind of chemistry they need, to get the kind of performances they need, to have to withstand the amount of minutes that you're going to have to see from young and unproven players. That's hard to do. That's going to be a hard thing for them to do. So ultimately, I see this team falling just short of the playoffs, 41 wins. So before we get to the 3Q preview of the Minnesota Timberwolves, let's hear from one of the young guys I was talking about earlier in the podcast. I talked to Wade Baldwin about his struggles shooting in the preseason and about the adjustments that he's having to make with his shot. Some really interesting comments from a rookie who may not have had the most overwhelming preseason shooting the basketball, but certainly is confident and feels like he can still contribute.
What do you attribute your struggles in the last few games, particularly shooting the basketball? Yeah. Where do you go back and watch? What do you see?
I look at the shots that I take, and none of them are bad shots. They're all within the offense, good shots. Now it's just whether making it or missing. I'm going through transition with my jump shot with the shooting coach, Bob Tate. So mechanical stuff is switching up for me, and it is a process with shooting. You know,
when you change the mechanics, I mean, if you change it a little or a lot, yeah. I mean, you're a shooter. You've been doing this your whole life. Right. You probably haven't had this kind of hands-on, like, right, mechanical instruction. Right. Is that tough?
It's not tough. It's just a process. So there's going to be times you're going 1-for-6, 0-for-6, over 5. And it's tough, I guess, in practice for me, seeing balls not go in when I was, you know, a 40% shooter in college, and I was known to be, you know, a good shooter. Now transitioning, I got to trust that, you know, a month or 2 months or 3 months or maybe even a year, if it takes that long, that I'm going to get back to those same percentages.
You strike me as a pretty confident guy, so you're not going to necessarily see 0 for 5 and get real upset about that. I mean, in terms of your confidence.
Yeah, no, I'm just going to try to play the right way.
Did you find a partnership in preseason that you liked? I mean, you played alongside Mike a fair bit with him off the ball. Yeah. You played alongside Troy a fair bit. Did you find a couple that you particularly liked?
I liked everybody, but playing with Mike Conley is special. The things that he can do, and it only helps my game, being the great shooter that he is, getting the paint, can spray out to me. You know, everybody is a real easy guy to play with, but when you play with a guy who's worth every penny that he makes, and then the track record that he's had, makes it easy for me.
One thing defensively, you guys, when you and him were out there, you guys were, you know, locked down defensively. The shooting was up and down. Is that going to be the focus for you?
For sure. If Coach Fizzo has confidence put us both out there, he's probably trying to make the right decision at that time, and I got to contribute what I can.
Do you expect, like, play XYZ minutes, or are you just...
Nah, I have no idea how many minutes I'm going to play. Hopefully I get in and can contribute, and if I don't, I'll be clapping up for the people that are in there.
So now time for the 3Q preview of the first regular season game. For those that do not know, the 3Q preview, we do it before every game, asking three questions that will help to define what's going to happen in the upcoming game. Question number one, will Mike Conley be able to back up a strong preseason versus a theoretically tough defensive matchup? As you know, Mike Conley was certainly the best player for the Grizzlies. Statistically in preseason, was a revelation in the new offense David Fizdale has, but now he comes right out of the gate with a team. Didn't play particularly well against them last Wednesday in preseason, but I don't think anyone, any of the starters at least, played very well for the Grizzlies that night. You know, Conley against Ricky Rubio, good defensive point guard. And then Chris Dunn is a rookie, but he's big. And Mike Conley sometimes has trouble with bigger point guards dealing with them defensively. Will he be able to put up similar numbers to the ones that we've seen? Will he be able to be assertive offensively? What will the Grizzlies be able to do with the way they game plan for this game? Will they be able to switch Mike Conley and get him onto matchups that are a little bit better? Will Mike be able to be aggressive? Will the Grizzlies spread allow for that space inside? And if so, can Mike finish against a pretty interesting group of bigs inside? All these things will help to define what the Grizzlies can do, because if they're going to get a win tonight, they're going to have to get a big performance from Mike Conley, who is going to have to be a steadying influence throughout the year, because this is a team that's likely, as I mentioned, to have, you know, stretches where certain guys are missing. Mike's got to be consistent. He's got to be the rock. He's got to be the guy. He has to live up to being the highest paid player on the team and one of the highest paid players in the NBA with the largest contract in the history of the league. He's got to not necessarily live up to that dollar total, but he's got to live up to that as a leadership position. Will he back up that strong preseason against this Timberwolves team? We find out tonight. Question two, how will Marc Gasol deal with Karl Anthony Towns? Now, it feels like this is a question that has been too quickly reversed. You know, you would think that even as good as Karl Anthony Towns has been, this is Marc Gasol, former Defensive Player of the Year. This is a guy who has been, you know, one of the best centers in the NBA for years and years now. The question really should be the other way around. How will Karl Anthony Towns deal with Marc Gasol? But, you know, that's not what we saw. That's not what happened last week. Karl Anthony Towns just easily handled Marc Gasol. Part of that was, I hope, preseason. You saw, if you watched the Jazz Blazers game last night, you saw Joe Johnson, who was not good at all in preseason and didn't seem to care. He came out and was amazing in that game. Amazing. Had a 17-point quarter. Joe Johnson, a 17-point quarter in that game. So, you know, preseason doesn't tell you a whole lot necessarily, especially when it comes to older vets. But Mark has to deal with Karl Anthony Towns. Karl Anthony Towns went to the foul line 17 times in that preseason game against the Grizzlies and made all 17. He scored 31 points on 10 shots. He is a unicorn. He's a freak. He is a phenomenal player. And in the NBA GM survey, 48% of GMs said that if they were picking any player in the NBA to start their team with, they would pick Karl Anthony Towns. More so than Steph Curry or anybody else. That is a huge compliment, and it's not wrong. It is not wrong. How will Mark deal with Karl Anthony Towns? He's got to keep him in check. Got to keep him under 25 if the Grizzlies are going to have a chance to win this game. Finally, question number three. Will the Grizzlies be able to have chemistry on defense despite not having played together as a unit all preseason? Now, this question is predicated on Tony Allen playing, but I think he will. And so I ask this question because of that. You will have a group out there that will have not played together at all in any preseason game, and never under David Fizdale with these kinds of defensive decisions that have to be made. I talked a little bit to Tony Allen about this yesterday, and here's what Tony had to say about how you get chemistry on defense despite not playing.
Well, a lot of that is effort and understanding what coach wants us to do in those pick and roll situations and down screen situations. A lot of that is being alert and, just like I say, understanding and being able to communicate with your bigs. But for the most part, we've been doing a good job of that in the preseason.
You heard Tony Allen talk about how practice is really the only chance that they have to play together. It's not perfect, but it's all they've got. You know, David Fizdale said the same thing. He said that he had to rely on his vets to do what they can and to know that practice was going to have to make up for some games in preseason.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they have to play together to build it. But, you know, we're working with what we have and under the circumstances, and they've been very cooperative. And when they can go, they have gone, and we've made the most of those days.
I also talked with Mike Conley about that very issue, about how you develop chemistry in this new defensive scheme. And I also asked him some specifics about some of the things that they're working on and how they call it. I thought Mike had, as usual, a terrific answer with a lot of descriptive quality.
Well, it's practice. You know, you got to practice it. You have to be able to watch film. You have to be able to learn from your mistakes, because it's not going to be easy. With what we're trying to do, especially with Coach Fizz's system, we can switch a lot of things. We have to be able to guard a lot of different positions. You have to be able to guard in the post if you're a little guy. You have to be able to guard a guard if you're a big guy. So,
is that on the fly? Are you guys making those calls out there as that goes, or is that a structural thing that you guys
I think it's something that we want to do in small doses. We don't want to rely on taking the easy way out and switching, but it's something that we want to have in our bag, because there's going to be teams where, you know, say like Golden State's, where you're going to have to, you know, switch every now and then. Otherwise, you will be down a man, you know, as they swing the ball around.
So there's a lot involved in the system, and it's going to take time for it to come out. But is tonight too soon, especially with personnel still not exactly settled? You still don't have Chandler Parsons, and Tony Allen really hasn't played any game action with these guys in the way that they want to do things. Tony picks things up really quickly. You know, if anyone can jump in there and be really effective, it's definitely him. But that's probably going to be a factor. And that, to me, is the one thing I'm probably going to watch more than anything else tonight, is defensively, how do they respond? What do they do? What do they look like? How quickly are they picking it up? We'll find that out. If they can do it quickly and if they can get on it, then they can win this game. But you and I both know that the Grizzlies, in the history of season openers, has been a little bit checkered. It's gotten a little better of late, but it has not always been tremendous in FedEx Forum, to say the least. I'll still never forget the FedEx Forum opener against the Washington Wizards, a team that was totally depleted. I think they had a 7-man rotation that night. Peter John Ramos, Puerto Rican center, was a big part of that action. Juan Dixon, I think. Jared Jeffries, that group. They beat the Grizzlies. They beat a team that they had no business beating that night, because it was a season opener. But, you know, curses will fall, just ask the Cubs. So we'll see if the Grizzlies can get it done tonight. Thank you once again for joining me here on Locked On Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Follow me on Twitter, at Peter Edmiston. Check me out every morning, 7 to 10. Wolo and Peter in the morning, Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 87.7 FM. Read me in the Commercial Appeal in the Numbers Game each and every week. And, of course, please subscribe and review. I would love it and really appreciate it if you would do that. Until next time, thank you so much. You have been Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily podcast on the Memphis Grizzlies. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.